20. If you don't have a Bible with you, use the one in the pew rack right in front of you, and you can turn to page, I think, 61 in there. Let me check. Yep, 61. So Exodus chapter 20. We're in a series of the Ten Commandments. Looking at these from the lens of the New Testament and the perspective of the life of Christ, faith in Him, how do we go back and see what Moses wrote about that actually is speaking of Jesus Himself? How do we live out the Christian life, not under law, but under grace? He has fulfilled the law, but we have the privilege of living in grace and letting His life flow through us. As a reminder of the first couple of commandments, the first week that we started this series, I showed a video of some adults and students found at a mall, like one of these Man of the Street interviews, and they were asking if they knew the Ten Commandments, and I think, you know, maybe even the best person was able to figure out three of them. They asked them how many beers they knew, and they knew up to 10, maybe even more. So let's test us. I'm going to go ahead and throw them up on the screen. We have at least four that we can know today. Go to the next slide. Ten Commandments. So far, we've talked about number one, no other gods before me. Whatever picture in your mind you need to have so you remember that God is number one, that's why that's number one. All right, number two, don't have any, no idols. So there's no room for two of them. You focus on one and not the others. Number three is honor God's name. And today we're going to focus on number four, keep the Sabbath. So if you'll just memorize these every week, just add a new one to your list, you should be able to name all 10 of these by the time we get done. Wouldn't that be great? Some of you can already do that, right? Could you do them out of order? Yeah, we'll have to test that later. All right, so I want us to focus on today the keep the Sabbath. What does it really mean? I want us to look at the scripture up on the screen. We'll walk through this. Verse 8 is where it begins, and we'll walk through 8, 9, 10, and 11. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Just pause for a second. I want you to notice that this is the first one that is written in a positive way. Has a positive word. It doesn't have the word do not. Up until this point, it's been do not do this, don't do this, don't do this. And most people think about the Ten Commandments being a bunch of don'ts. Well, there are actually a couple of do's in the top 10. Both number 4 and number 5 talk about something positive. You should be doing this. You should be implementing this in your life. So here's the very first positive of the Ten Commandments. So remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Verse 9 states this. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. And I just want to pause there for a second too. Oftentimes when you read these verses, you'll see the positive, oh yeah, I need to keep a Sabbath day, I need to rest, I need to go to worship. But verse 9 is a verse that you ought to memorize as well. Because some people don't apply this part. Oh, I know how to rest, give me 7 days off, I will love it. But are you using the other days to really use the abilities and giftedness that God has given you to give your all to Him in your workplace? As Colossians 3:23 says, work hard and cheerfully at all you do, just as though you're working for the Lord, not merely your masters, knowing that it's He, God, who's going to pay you your full portion of all He owns. If everything we do it for the glory of God. Do you work hard giving your all the 6 days? Now, you may not have a job that requires 6 days. If you do, you probably need to step back a little bit. But working hard is working both for your employer and for your family. 6 days, give your all where you are wiped out. Because God has put in your schedule, if you will obey His word, the seventh day where you need to just rest. It's not a day to catch up on all the work you didn't accomplish. It's not a day to do all the grocery shopping. It's not a day to kind of, you know, pick up on all those things that have just been sitting around for a while. No, do that during your 6 days. On the seventh day, you're going to pause and rest. I think too often we're too lazy on one side. We don't really work hard. We waste our time in school. We waste our time at work. We waste our time in the evenings when we could be accomplishing what we need to. Preparing for that day, that first day of the week, where we rest and we focus on the Lord solely. All right, so you see in verse 9, 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, whatever it takes. And then verse 10 says this, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, or your male servant, or your female servant, or your livestock, or the sojourner who is within your gates. Now, just to pause there, I can imagine, I didn't get to speak to my children about this, but they're probably saying, see, Dad, I can't work. I can't do, you know, that yard work you wanted me to do this afternoon. You know, I'm not supposed to do all these things. So, you know, we'll be applying this in our home. Let's make sure we're working diligently and very hard Monday through Saturday. So on Sunday, we're going to obey the Lord. All right, verse 11, the last verse in this commandment. For in 6 days the Lord has made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. You notice we just walked through all of those verses. This verse must be important, or this commandment must be very important. It has more to say than murder and adultery and stealing and lying combined. And certainly we would never want to embrace murder or adultery and say that those are fine. But can we skip over this fourth commandment thinking it's just an option for us, a suggestion? God could have just said, remember the Sabbath day, keep it holy, period. But he extended his words here so that you would pause a moment and realize the value and the weight of it. Work is valuable. So is worship and resting in him. So I've got a few questions I want us to answer today. We'll put up the questions on the screen. The next slide says, what is a Sabbath? So this is what I'll throw up. The actual definition of Sabbath, if you look back in the Hebrew, is Sabbath is the English reflex of a common Hebrew word, sabbat, meaning stopping, stoppage, or cessation, to pause, to stop, to cease from doing something. And in this context, it's work. To work hard 6 days a week. On the seventh, it's stop doing that. That's why we call it the day of rest. And it was instituted here in the, not only in the Ten Commandments, but they were given this perspective even before they were receiving this Ten Commandments. Our bodies are only made to go so long before it needs physical rest. Same thing with our spirits and our emotion. We've got to pause and have a day of rest. So the word literally means that. Let's go to the next question. Or the next slide. Jesus focused in the New Testament. He said, and Jesus said to them, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. Now you can go back and look at all the context of that. But see, the Sabbath is not a master to be served. Oh no, I work hard for my employer 6 days or 5 days and my family for 1 day, but now I've got to serve God to do something on this Sabbath. It's not what Jesus said. What is he saying here? I have enabled you and given you much responsibility all week. Guess what? I'm going to give you a gift. This day is actually for you and your benefit. Receive it joyfully, open it up, and rest in it. Enjoy it. 52 days of vacation would be wonderful, wouldn't it? 52 days of vacation a year. How many of you get that from your employer? 52 days of vacation. You don't get that, but you do get it from God. 52 days a year. Sometimes it's 53, just depends on the year, right? That he gives you a day of rest to focus, to think about him, to reconnect with your loved ones, where nothing else is supposed to interfere. It's a day that you just pause and receive the very gift he's given you. So Mark 2:27 is a verse perhaps you ought to embrace a little more. God is saying to us, every 7 days you need to rest, refocus physically, emotionally, spiritually, and this is a gift for your benefit. So when is the Sabbath? Some of the questions that come up, when is the Sabbath? Well, go ahead and do the next slide on this. Saturday was set aside. It was the last day of the week, according to the Jewish calendar. And so when this was instituted in the Old Testament, it says at the end of the week, you're going to rest. It's the Sabbath, the Jewish Sabbath. God created the world in 6 days, and on that seventh day, he rested. Now, does that mean God was tired, by the way? God is not tired. He never sleeps nor slumbers, Isaiah chapter 49. He doesn't have to take a nap on the Sabbath afternoon. It's not that type of position. For God, when he does that, why did he do? Could he not have created the world in 2 days or 2 seconds? God is establishing a model here for our benefit, saying, I'm going to set up a cycle. Now, he could have done it on a 10-day schedule. He could have done it on a 3-day schedule. But in God's divine wisdom and providence, he says, I'm going to establish, for my purposes, 6 days of work creating, and then I'm going to have that seventh day where you do nothing but enjoy that which you have worked so hard for. He set up that model so that we, likewise, would follow that model. We need the rest, whereas he does not. But he says, I want you to work hard 6 days. Put all your focus and energy into these things. And then I want you to pause and rest, as I've shown you. So the Jewish calendar is this way. Now, for on Sunday, the Christian day of rest. Why did it happen on Sunday? It's because Jesus rose from the dead on Sunday. And then later in the book of Revelation, John writes that as he was interacting with Christ and seeing the future of what would be taking place, he calls it the Lord's Day. And so for Christians in the first century, they shifted their focus from the last day of the week and moved it to the first day of the week, saying we're going to begin our whole world, this our whole week, focused on what Christ is about. Now, are Jewish people wrong for still having a Sabbath on Saturday? No. I think that they are certainly entitled to that and should embrace that. What about Christians? Are we wrong for moving our focus to Sunday? And I've certainly had people in our congregation over the last several years who have tried to challenge me, saying we should move our worship back to Saturday because it would be more biblical. You know, I've read the materials they've provided me. I've not been convinced. This is what I am convinced of, though. And it's not necessarily that the Christian, quote, Sabbath must be on Sunday. Nowhere in the Bible does it require our day of rest to be on Sunday. You can't find it. But in the Bible, it is required that we have a day of rest, a Sabbath. What is that day for you? I know there are some who work in vocations that require them to work on Sunday. You're in a position of a nurse or a doctor. You don't have any options there. So does that alleviate you from using the blessed gift that God gives you as a Sabbath? No, you need to take a Sabbath on another day. I'll give you a couple of scriptures here just to give you something to chew on for a little bit. In Romans chapter 14, verse 5 and 6, it tells us this: one person esteems one day as better than another, while another esteems all days alike. Each one should be fully convinced in his own mind. The one who observes the day, whatever that day that may be, observes it in honor of the Lord. I'm convinced that certainly it is a good practice for Christian people to set aside Sunday as their day of observance, because it does remind us of the day that the Lord was raised from the dead. But I am not convinced someone is in sin if they are required to work on this day and have to find another day out of seven that they have the privilege of resting and worshiping. You may be challenged by that thought. But I see that in Scripture, that it needs to stop being so legalistic and far more just dedicated to what the Lord has actually asked of us. Another verse in Colossians chapter 2, verse 16. Therefore, let no one pass judgment on you in questions of food and drink, or with regard to a festival or a new moon or a Sabbath, your day of rest. The question is not what day. The question is, are you having a day of Sabbath? Now, you're here. That's a good start. Is the rest of your day committed to those things that would not require you to be working, those things that are normal during your 6-day-a-week life, but it really is set apart? It's different. All right, so I'm going to put up the next question up on the screen. What does it mean to be holy, since it says, remember the Sabbath and keep it holy? Well, what does it mean to be holy? It means to be set apart. That's what the word holy means. Set apart, different, unique, reserved, special. I'm not asking you if you take 1 hour of your week to come to a corporate worship that is different, unique, reserved, and special. God didn't say 1 hour out of however many hours a week we have set aside as special. No, what he's actually asked of us, if we want to be obedient to the scriptures, is you need to, 1 day out of 7, set aside to not be like any other day that you have. It is a day to recreate. It is a day to rejoice. It is a day to revive and refocus. It ought to be so different than all the other weeks. Don't try to be bringing home stuff from work and trying to cram it all in on that day of rest. Don't try to make all your projects that you've been wanting to do at home on that day. There ought to be a day that you really embrace the rest that he gives you. Set apart, different, unique, reserved, special. Do you have that implemented in your life? Work and then worship. So how can remember the Sabbath and keep it holy? I'm just going to hit two major areas today that I think are biblical throughout Scripture, showing light and illumination to what he's requiring of us as followers of Christ. How can we remember the Sabbath and keep it holy in our lives? The first one is rest. Certainly that's kind of the major theme I've been speaking of already. Rest. Look at what Psalm 127 says. It is in vain that you rise up early and go late to rest, eating the bread of anxious toil, for he gives to his beloved sleep. Some of you burn the candle at both ends, but you're not quite as bright as you think you are. And you're looking at one. I'm a self-confessed workaholic. I was not enjoying coming to this particular commandment to preach on it today, because I might have to confess a few things. And see, I've got a whole family that's sitting here who goes, you don't even do what you're telling us to do. And so I have to confess that before you as a congregation in my own family. I believe it's right to work and work hard. But I do have a warped brain. Sometimes I think when you rest, you're being lazy. And quite frankly, there are sometimes you're just lazy. But God has never required of me his job. He says, do what I've gifted you to do, work hard, and then rest. Have a Sabbath. Don't run so much that you actually burn yourself out and you're no good for anybody. Rest. How do we keep, remember the Sabbath and keep it holy? It is in vain that we want to get up so early and we want to stay up till everybody's gone to bed and we're work, and we haven't observed what he's told us to do. An old Indian parable says that you can you break the bow if it's always bent. God says, I made this day for you. I want you to be rested. Your body and your spirit needs rest. This is so important that God himself used himself as an example in creation, created the world. He repeats the same principle throughout Scripture. You know, even in the Supreme Court had to decide about blue laws. Anybody remember blue laws? That could a government require, they had to make a decision on this, could a government, a local government, require businesses to be closed on Sundays or to not sell certain things on Sundays? And it went all the way to the Supreme Court as people fought that. And the Supreme Court ruled that governments can do that, because they recognize, not for religious purposes, but just for physical good for the community, people need a pause, a time to rest. Now, unfortunately, over the last 20 to 30 years, more local governments don't see the value of letting their community rest, and so they've pretty much eliminated all blue laws, things that need to be closed. But not all businesses have found the necessity to stay open 7 days a week. I'm thankful for companies like Chick-fil-A or Hobby Lobby. And I know there are others who say, you know what, we're going to pause. Perhaps not all of our employees are going to go to worship, but we're going to at least pause. We're going to take this off. We're not going to require of them any work on this day. We don't need to make a profit at the expense of the exhaustion of our employees. We're going to give them time for family, give them time for worship. If they choose not to do that, that is up to them, but we're not going to be the barrier for allowing people to have those opportunities because we see God's higher calling in our leadership for people's lives. I'm thankful for companies who see that profit is not always the greatest benefit to a company. I see that the Scripture gives me an excuse to have a biblical nap on Sunday afternoon. In Mark chapter 6, verse 31, Jesus said, "Come away by yourselves to a desolate place and rest a while." As a leader of those disciples, he knew it was essential for them to get away and to rest, to not do ministry all the time, not be involved and engaged all the time. Too many of you are always on the go and never take time for rest. A recent survey I came across revealed that 62% of people in the United States are either burned out or getting close. If you have too many irons in the fire, you may actually put the fire out. God never says that we have been gifted by the Holy Spirit to overcome our tiredness. He says, no, I've built in your schedule, if you will just embrace it, a time of rest. You know this verse. In Psalm 23, verse 1 and following. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Read this next part with me. He makes me lie down in green pastures. Keep going. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. Notice the order. Does he restore you first, or does he make you lie down first? God, would you just rejuvenate me as I'm on the move? Would you just give me a refreshing as I continue to run this direction, this direction, this direction? No, there are times, and I love the phrasing here, sometimes he actually makes you lie down. He doesn't just invite you to do it. He actually does that. Now, in my life, this is how it's worked out. He'll either give me some type of virus that just knocks me down, so I'm out a couple of days. I'm like, I didn't have time for this, but God obviously saw it was good for my schedule. Or actually, he knocks my gallbladder out, and I'm in, you know, out for a whole week. Because it's those times, if I'm not going to slow down, he'll just knock me down and say, you need to rest. And then Marie Leon gets all over me. See, if you would have just been doing this, you wouldn't be having these problems. Our local nurse. Drink your water, drink your water. Yeah. Take your vitamins, you know. Eat green things. Yeah, all those things that we're supposed to do, but if you don't do them, God doesn't let you get away with that very long. I will make you lie down. And when you finally slow down, I'm going to restore your soul. I wonder how many of you need to be on bed rest for a while. Just to be restored. Because you're running so fast, you're not really embracing what he's got. He's speaking and you're not listening. It was a convicting for myself observation as I considered this text and read some other resources. I found one guy who says, if you're unwilling to keep a consistent day of rest, you are immature and you are insecure. I said, you're a jerk. Let me just be honest and transparent. I said, I don't believe that. And then I read what he had to say, and that's where the conviction came in. You're immature. Have you ever put a child, this is what he said, have you ever put a child down for a much needed nap, but they did not want to go to sleep? A wise parent knows that they need rest, but the child who is immature does not realize it, and they fight it the entire time. They argue, they complain, they think of ways to just get another drink of water. They don't fully understand why they need to rest. They are immature, but a wise parent requires rest sometimes your wise parent, God who is your father, makes you lie down in green pastures. I'm pretty immature sometimes. I don't want to rest. He also says that you can be insecure because you get to a position where you think everything depends upon you rather than the God who holds the entire world in his hands. Rest is for physical and spiritual rejuvenation. Remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. Second observation in Scripture is not only rest, but we need to refocus. Psalm 23, once again, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me besides what? Still or quiet waters. He restores my soul. We need to refocus. What do we refocus on? There are three things I think primarily we need to refocus on the day we keep Sabbath, the day we have rest. We need to refocus on God, refocus on family, and refocus on fellowship. Now, let me explain all three of these. Certainly, refocusing on God is something we could readily recognize in Scripture. And perhaps this is number four, and this will be the last of the focuses on God himself. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. That's what in the first 10 commandments, that's the first four. And the last six are love your neighbor as yourself. Well, perhaps this is number four so that you can pause every 7 days and go, am I keeping God number one in my life? Do I have any idols in my life? Have I been using his name as a shallow filler word or as a curse word this week? Perhaps this pausing to refocus takes us back to commandment one, two, and three to tell us, are we really in that close relationship and honoring him like he has asked? Because if we don't check ourselves once in a while, we'll just drift. Every ship captain knows that to keep a ship going in the right direction, they need a gyro compass. Without a standard of true north, the ship will get off track. Our body and our life must be recalibrated every 7 days, or we too will drift. This helps us refocus on what's really important. Refocusing on God. In Psalm 95, verse 6, it says, O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker. When we consider the need of focusing, to refocus, we must start with our relationship with God. Too often in our need for resting and refocusing, we completely ignore God and our spiritual renewal. Your spirit is empty, and only God can replenish your soul. That's why you need Sabbath. We've turned Sunday into fun day too often. Not that Sunday can't be fun, but sometimes we replace a holy day with just a holiday. You know, where rather than worshiping the creator of our lives, we'd rather go be baptized at a pool, beach, or lake. We'll anoint our bodies with oil as we worship the sun with no thought of the creator of our own souls and the Son of God who saved us. And so it's not that recreation is wrong. I think it's misplaced. Years ago, back in the, a couple hundred years ago, about 300 years ago, perhaps even 400 years ago, a story of John Calvin. It was John Knox, who was a Scottish theologian, preacher, mover and shaker of the Scottish Reformation, and he went to visit John Calvin, who was the foremost theologian of that day and pastor. And as he arrived, he came on the day of rest, the Lord's Day, the Sabbath, if you will, for John Calvin. And as he arrived, he saw John Calvin out in the yard with his wife lawn bowling. I don't even know what lawn bowling is, but I read the story and I was like, lawn bowling. And John Knox was offended. How dare you? This is a day of rest. How can you be out there recreating? He says, I've already had my first priority with God. God's renewed our soul this morning, and now I'm enjoying my wife out here recreating in God's creation. Proper placement of recreation is after we've already been recreated in worship with him. It's a big difference between holiday and holy day. We refocus on our relationship with God, and as I've already alluded to, we refocus on our relationship with family.
In Mark 8, chapter 8, verse 36, for what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Let us refocus on God and then refocus on family. You know, traditionally, in America, Sunday used to be about two things, church and family. God wants you to plan some time with your family, to do with them what you don't have time to do when you're working very difficult throughout the week. In Ecclesiastes 9:9, just one verse, it says, enjoy life with the wife whom you love. Spend those times as John Calvin did in the afternoon. Spend that time focused on one another. You also need to refocus on fellowship. One of the things people get so busy during the week that they don't have time to interact with others, but God says, I want you to pause. As you're focusing on me, you're focusing on your family, you need to focus on some fellowship with fellow believers. The world's difficult enough. If you're not connected with the body of Christ, then you're missing an element, a gift that I've given you for encouragement and wisdom. You know, parenting is hard. Maybe some other parents can help you. Marriage is hard. Maybe some other married folks can help you. You know, singleness is hard. Maybe some other single folks can help you. You know, just, I don't understand who God is or what's going on and just the fellowship of the body. Hebrews chapter 10, and let us consider how to stir one another up towards love and good deeds, not neglecting to meet together, as some in the habit are doing, but encouraging one another. So we focus on God, we focus on the family, we focus on fellowship. I know people are busy, but until we make an intentionality and we really have a purpose for this, we'll continue to need rest and not take it, and need refocusing but continue to drift. One of the things I think that's been a value here, as I've seen certain individuals here do it, that 6 days a week you are busy, but you've been very intentional to plug into a small group on Sunday morning or Sunday evening, or even this particular thing that you've done I think has been very helpful. You've been inviting people to lunch after the service just to hang out with them. The rest of the week's a mess, you don't have any time, but you've been saying, hey, why don't we go out to lunch and just let our hair down and get to know each other and enjoy each other. You know, we did this as a corporate body last Sunday. Some of you took advantage of that. Actually, many of you took advantage of that because we didn't have any room left. We're going to do it again in 3 months. But don't let it be 3 months before you connect in fellowship and love for one another. Wouldn't it be great if at least once a month you committed saying, we're going to have this day where we're going to go out to lunch with someone, or we're going to invite these people to our home on Sunday just so we can connect with fellow believers for encouragement. Wouldn't it be great? I think that's part of what keeping it different than the rest of the week is like. Separate. Unique, special, keeping the Sabbath holy, connecting with one another, connecting with our family, connecting with God. You know, when you buy a car, you receive a book with a maintenance schedule. The maintenance schedule says you have to do certain things at certain times and your car will last longer. God's given us the scriptures to give us a maintenance schedule for our own lives and soul. If we ignore the maintenance schedule, we're doing it to our own detriment, relationally, spiritually, and physically. Last verse I'll put up on the screen. Philippians chapter 3, verse 12. I was sitting down with somebody the other day, and we were going through Philippians, and this verse kind of popped out to both of us as essential, and I said, I've got to use that on Sunday. Not that I have already obtained this, or I'm already perfect, Paul says. And he certainly he's got a wider context here in Philippians. But in applying this to keeping the Sabbath holy, to remembering it, keeping it holy, I thought, yeah, I haven't attained this. I'm not perfected. But Paul is saying, but I press on to make it my own. I want it to be true in my life. I want the rest. I want the refocus. I want to be in alignment with God's established plan. Why does he want to grab onto that? Because Christ Jesus has made me his own. If Christ loves us so much that he's already grabbed a hold of us and brought us into his eternal rest available, may I have that much passion to grab a hold of that which he has already done for me. It's not unattainable. It's very available. Would we merely grab onto the rest that God has already grabbed onto us for? He loves us. We respond by loving him. Let us pray together. Father, it's in your grace that we live and move and have our being. And Father, I pray that even as we've looked at this passage briefly, that it would do enough conviction in our hearts to help us adjust, to refocus, and to truly be in the center of your will. And I think that's where we'll find overwhelming joy. Father, as we prepare for the Lord's table, I pray that you would help us right now even refocus on who you are and resting in you, knowing that this eternal promise, the resurrection of Christ, has provided us a way to be with you face to face in our eternal rest. And we pray that you'd bless this time in Jesus' name. Amen.